Today we continue our study in stewardship, and I would like to begin by saying thank you. For this week, I have received somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 emails, and coming from the service last week and the challenge that I gave you, and that is using your gift and sharing that gift, and we had several of them scrolling on the overhead before services began. But I would just like to say to you, thank you. What an encouragement that was to me as a pastor to hear of what our people are doing to bless and minister to others. Keep it up, okay? I want to encourage you. I want more emails this week, all right? I want 60 this week. How's that? We were almost 50 last week. I want 60 this week. Preacher always wants more, doesn't he? But I do want to encourage, I want to thank you, I want to encourage you. I received everything from having prayer with people, to praying at the schools, to giving money to those in need, to teaching kids, and the list just, it was phenomenal. And so keep it up. Keep using the talents, the gifts, the abilities that God has entrusted to you, okay? And you'll see more of those on the overhead next week. And we're moving forward to that first Sunday in June when we have Celebration Day. All right? Celebration Day of using our gifts. But today, we're going to speak about investing in the future. And I'm not talking about 401ks, all right? Titus chapter 2, verse 1, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us, please? Amen. You may be seated. Memory verse, of course, for our study. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in servants or stewards that stewards be found faithful. Lesson number 1, 3 weeks ago, do you remember the one point? It all belongs to God. Let's do that a little louder. First point, it all belongs to God. Point number 2, you are accountable. Good job. 3 of you remembered that. Let's say it together. You are accountable. Very good. Today's lesson, invest in the future. All right? Invest in the future. You have to make investment into the future. In the text, it said in verse 1, to speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Now that sound doctrine, that word sound, literally means to be healthy or to make healthy. So the challenge here was to young Timothy, speak healthy things. The problem with our culture today, and I really don't want to be negative, but this is so very true. So much of our culture is sick, spiritually sick. I'm reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to share this with you. You don't have to turn there because it's up on the slide, but it describes the end times. It says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves." Sound familiar? Lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. As I read that, as I thought about where we are as a country, it was all too real. And the thought, we back up and we look at the conditions of society. We worry about our children. We wonder what's going on and why. And I believe it can be summed up in one answer. Satan has launched an all-out attack on the family. Amen. On the home. And our homes are falling apart. Last time I checked, the ratio was like 50, 40% somewhere in that neighborhood of one-parent families, one-parent homes. I want to tell you, it takes both parents. All right? There are mothers who are killing their babies in the womb. You know that word unloving that we read about in 2 Timothy? It means without natural affection. There's something just wrong with that, with a mother that doesn't love that unborn baby. Parents, men, who are absentee dads. Let me tell you something. Kids need their fathers. It doesn't matter what society tells you. They need their fathers. They need their mothers. That's the way God designed it. And as He designed it, He knew what He was doing. Our society has been troubled by drugs, alcohol, sexual perversion. You can find anything you want to find. Beloved, I believe it's time that we must get back to the Bible basics. Okay, and the Bible basics of the home is to teach. We've got to teach our children. Get back to that idea of it's mom and dad's responsibility to teach the children. It's not the school's responsibility. It's not the community's responsibility to have programs for them. It is mom and dad's responsibilities. Because I want to tell you, as I look around in this congregation today, I see a lot of young faces all the way from little infants to teenagers, and they all look precious to me. They're worth the investment. We've got to teach them. We've got to teach them to love. What does that look like? Well, first thing that Paul addressed, he addressed to the older women to teach the young women. Teach them to love their husbands. And today, I'm not just going to single out the women because I'm going to go with the men also. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're told, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What's the point? The point is our children need to see moms and dads who love one another. Not moms and dad who have the home turned upside down and always fussing, always fighting, never have anything to say good about the other. That's not a home. A home to a child, the building block foundation is a mother and father who love one another. And that kid knows that they'll always have that mom and dad who love one another. See, there has to be a constant. Teach them to love their spouse. I want to tell you, love is hard. Sometimes it's messy. And sometimes your spouse is not worth loving. Come on, amen. Let's go. Come on. It's hard. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul talks about love. And he said, love suffers long. I like that word, suffers, don't you? Love suffers long. It's patient is what that means. It's kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Does not provoke. Thinks no evil or is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love is sometimes tough. But it's worth loving, okay? It's worth doing. Ladies, teach our young ladies how to love their husbands. And one thing, whether it's ladies or it's men, that we've got to teach our children is marriage is for a lifetime. Now, I know there are some here who have divorce in their past, and I'm not trying to dredge up old wounds, and here's the thing, you can't go back and you can't change what's already gone, all right? What you can be is from here forward, all right? This is what you have control right now is today and every day ahead that God has planned for your life. But let your kids know there is no plan B when it comes to marriage. It is for a lifetime, if it comes down to it, don't threaten to leave. I've heard that time and time. Well, I don't have to live like this. I don't want to live like this. I'm not going to live like this. I'll go home to mom and dad. First of all, mom and dad, if you're worth your salt, you'll send them back. Okay? Now, short of them being in danger, all right, but don't threaten with I'll leave. Threaten with I'll stay. You better straighten up. I'll stay. And not only that, I'm going to live to be 130. Yeah. What was that? I'm saying kids are seeing moms and dads give up too easy. Okay? You want to give them something that goes down to their very core. You give them a mom and dad who loves one another. Husbands who love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. You know what that word gave means in Ephesians 5? It means to betray oneself. Husbands, you want to know how to love your wife? Betray yourself. It's all about them. When you say I do, it becomes all about them, guys. Nobody else is more important than them. Nobody else receives your affection other than them. You see, that's what we've got to give to our young men and our young ladies. We've got to teach them how to love. They see enough cruelty and immorality and fights and wars all around them. We've got to have solid homes with mom and dads who love one another. Teach them to love. Teach them to love their children. You know, you're not just raising children. You're raising grandchildren. Do you know that? You are raising your grandchildren because they're going to take what you do and pass it down. We talk about abusive homes and how that's a product of children that have been abused in homes in their past and they grow up to become abusers. Well, I want to tell you what. Godly parents are contagious. If God is important to you as a parent, He'll be important to your children. Take the time to love them and to teach them. What are you going to teach? You're going to teach them about God. All right? Teach them about God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. God told the children of Israel, you shall teach them diligently. He's talking about the laws. Teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You know what our kids need to hear? They need to hear us talking about Jesus. Amen. They need to hear us talking about the good things. Salvation. Again, they hear enough bad news. They're made fun of at school. They deal with immorality at school. They need to hear good, solid conversation about how great our God is. Teach them. If you're going to be a parent, read the Bible to them. Okay? Listen, read the Word of God to them. They need to hear it coming from you. Say, Brother Doug, but I'm not a Bible scholar. It's okay. You don't have to be. Just get you a Bible. Before they go to sleep at night, sit down with them and read 5 verses. Give them something from the Word of God that tells them God's important to me and to them. You know? Teach them the Word of God. Correct them. Here's the hard part. Correcting a child is tough. I don't like it. I never have liked it. I have disciplined my children and then dismissed myself to the bathroom where I had to cry. Amen. Okay? I didn't let them see me cry, but that's what it does. Teach them by discipline. See, if you love your child, you will discipline your child. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Here's God and how He deals with us. For whom the Lord, what's that word? Love. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Responsibilities of parents. Number one, chasten. That word chasten means literally to guide, to train. All right? It's not, we think of chastening as beating your kid up. That's not that, okay? It's guiding to maturity. That's what God does for us. Guide, teach, educate. And then when it's appropriate, scourge. You know what scourge means? That's a whipping in southern terms. Every once in a while, you got to give a whipping. Okay? That's just being a parent. I will be honest with you. I never did like it. And it would tear my heart out of my chest if I ever have to whip one of my grandbabies. But you know what? If you love them, you will. Oh, Brother Doug, I love my kids too much to whip them. No, you don't love them enough. Because there are times in 90% of the children that it will come down. I'm not talking about a beating. I'm talking about teaching them that there are consequences for their actions where you light up that bottom just a little bit. Not leave marks, not leave bruises, but let them know that mom and dad means business. You know, in looking back, there are times when I was a little bit stubborn. Okay, I was a lot stubborn. I did not respond the way that I should respond. And there are times that God loved me enough to scourge me. And I praise God for that scourging. Because He put me back on the right path. You see, and He did it because He loved me. And that's what it is to be a parent. You see, we've got to teach them. We've got to teach them to love. We've got to teach them to live. In the text, it said, teach the young ladies some qualities that are not very common in society today. I call it teaching young ladies how to be a lady. That they are to be, we're to teach them to be discreet. You know what discreet is? It's modest. Covered up. Okay? I don't know of a better way to put it. Covered up. I am a preacher. And I confess before you today, there are things I do not need to see. Because if I see, thoughts will go through my mind that should not be there. Okay? I'm a lot better than I used to be. Because I'm an older guy now, right? When I was a teenager, there was one thing on my mind. When I saw a pretty girl. And it wasn't so much to honor that pretty girl. It was, wow, she's hot. Right? the shorter the dresses were, the more disturbed I became as a young man. All right? I did not need to see the pretty legs. I did not need to see the cleavage. You see, when we're told, teach them to be discreet, you can still be beautiful and cover up. As a matter of fact, covering up is beautiful, young ladies. All right? It is beautiful. And I know you think you're being pretty. But trust me, these young men are not thinking about you being pretty. All right? They're seeing things and their hormones are raging. Don't put them in that position. Moms and dads, women, teach our young ladies to be modest. Teach them to be chaste, which is pure. I want to make this announcement, okay? I want everybody's attention. It's okay to be a virgin.
Amen.
You should be until you get married.
Amen.
Okay, now I know that maybe you've already taken that step and you can't undo it. But what you can do is you can start today. Say no more. I'm saving myself for my husband. I'm saving myself for my wife. Teach your young ladies to be chaste, innocent, pure, good homemakers, to love the home. Do you realize, women, ladies, teach your young ladies how to cook. Come on, guys, let's go. Teach all our children, okay, to value the home. When it says, good homemakers. Teach them, our young ladies, to be obedient to their husbands. Not inferior, but obedient. The idea is he's the spiritual leader of your home. Let your children see, ladies, let your children see you putting your husband in that position of leadership in your home. Brother Doug, that's old-fashioned. It is old-fashioned. God started it and it still works. Okay? And it's not because you're inferior. It's not. It's because with everything, there must be order. All right? And that's the order that God has set in place. Not because you're inferior. As a matter of fact, we all know that you're superior to us, ladies. All right? Smarter. Tougher. These moms who sit up all night with babies and boy, they can just go and go and go. I get tired. Moms can do it. We know what you are, ladies. You're definitely not inferior, but put your husband in that leadership role. Teach our young ladies to be beautiful. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. It says, do not let your adornment be merely outward. Arranging hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You want to be pretty? Here's how. Okay? It's not what's on the inside. And if you'll notice, I'm not saying don't wear makeup, don't fix your... I'm not saying that, all right? It's good to be pretty, ladies. It's good to, you know, to fix up. But do not let that be the part that makes you pretty. Because the part that makes you pretty, the part that makes you beautiful, is what comes out of here. All right? It's what's on the inside. That word adorning verse 3, let your adornment be. That word adornment, the Greek word is kosmos. It's where we get cosmetics. All right? So when you get up in the morning and you put on the cosmetics and you fix your face, he's saying, put on God. The heart. Don't forget, beauty does not come from a bottle. Beauty is not being sexy. All right? Beauty comes from the heart. And God says it's very precious. That means it's very valuable in His sight. Teach the young ladies how to be a lady. Teach the young men how to be men. Sober-minded, sensible, ordered way of life. Men, they've got to have a pattern, an example. Somebody that they can look at to see what it looks like to be a man of God living in this world today. Guys, here's where we've got to step up. We've got to teach them things. We've got to teach them things like respect. Never let a young man be disrespectful toward women. Okay? Never. Never. There's no excuse. And never allow your child, most especially your son, to be disrespectful to his mother. Never. Never. Adrian Rogers preached a message one time and he gave this story. And I thought, well, boy, this is very appropriate. And the story goes like this. A son once disrespected his mom. And the dad looked at the boy after he had smarted off to his mom. And he looked at the boy and said, "Son, you have sinned against Almighty God. You need to repent." And he continued, he said, "Son, you have sinned against your mom. You need to apologize. And son, you have sinned against me because you have disrespected my wife, the woman whom I love with all my heart and my soul. And that will never happen again." That's how we set an example, guys. Do not allow young men to disrespect their mother or women, period. Put in them, and he goes down a list of mentioning things. This is what children need to see out of the men. Things like integrity, which is honesty. Reverence, which is respectability. Teach them to show respect. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but I'm going to mention it again. Teach them to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Yes, sir, and no, sir. Teach them that. Why? It's respect. If you don't respect mom and dad, if they don't respect mom and dad, they'll not respect the police. They'll not respect the governor of the state of Arkansas. They'll not respect the president of the United States. There will be no respect. Respect starts at home. Invest in our children. Teach them to respect. Teach them to be respectable. Teach them to be incorruptible. Teach them to speak sound speech. Listen. Don't let them be filthy mouthed. Okay? And I say this. For our kids not to be filthy mouthed, mom and dad are going to have to keep a bridle on their tongue. Okay? We can't say those words. There are certain words that you didn't say in my house growing up. And I still won't say them. I still won't. Why? Because it was instilled in me. You don't say that. You don't say that in public. You don't say that, period. You see, we need to be instilling these same standards, these same patterns in our children that have worked for ages. You look at, you know, we have some older men in this church. And I say that respectfully. You know what I see in our older men? Respectability. Because they grew up in an age where respect was not an option. It was instilled in them. You go to the armed forces. You take a military career. Respect is not an option. When an officer speaks to you, you don't say, "Huh?" You say, "Yes, sir." Why? Because it's respect. We have to instill such things in our children. Teach them. It all comes down to time. Time. Okay? Are you willing to do the time? Well, look at that little fella beside you. And you tell me they're not worth it. They are worth the time and the effort and whatever it takes for you to instill godly principles in them. They're worth it. Our missionary, Ben Hightower from Columbia, was here a few weeks ago. He shared this on Facebook. See, a lot of times we think our kids aren't getting it. You know, and we don't bring our kids to church, and because we don't bring them to big church because they won't get it. They don't listen to the preacher. I want to tell you what, they catch a lot more than you think they do. Ben shared this, and they were at the dinner table after his visit here, and I'd preached. That was the first Sunday of our stewardship campaign or stewardship month, and he said they were at the dinner table and had the following conversation. Cooper said, "Who owns the church's money?" Ben said, "God owns the money, but we're His stewards." "Do you know what a steward is, son?" Cooper said, "Yeah. A steward is someone who takes care of God's stuff." You got to understand, this kid's, I don't know, kindergarten age, 4 or 5 years old. "A steward's someone who takes care of God's stuff." Ben said, "Where did you learn that?" Cooper said, "From Brother Doug. He preached on it." I'm saying, yes. Yes. Oh, 4 or 5 years old. He's catching this. Ben said, "Do you remember what else he said?" Cooper said, "Yeah. It all belongs to God." I mean, this is a kid. A kid. And he remembered what Brother Doug said. I mean, honestly, I don't remember half the stuff I say. They're important. Let's teach them. Let's bring them to church where they can get it. All right? And if sometimes, if you're a parent, let me just add this. If you're a parent and you think, I don't want to bring my kids into big church because they're a distraction, you bring them on in. All right? If I don't out-preach them, that's my problem. Okay? I love seeing them in here. I really do. I'm not going to tell you, you know, don't take them to nursery or children's church. I'm not going to tell you that. But I am going to tell you, okay, if you want to bring them in here, you bring them in here. And I don't care if they're 2 months old. Okay? I don't care. A baby's cry is a sound of life in a church. All right? You bring them in. It'll be okay. They're worth the investment. Bottom line. And you know what's really interesting? There are two phrases in here that I wanted in closing. I want to mention. It said in verse 5. It said, "To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands." Why? "That the word of God may not be blasphemed." That word blasphemed is dishonored. You see, we do a lot of talking as Christians. "Oh, I believe that you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. I believe that God is the King of Kings and I'm His servant." You know, we do all this talk. But oftentimes gets lost between what we say and our action. And the world looks at us and says, "If that's what it is, I don't need it." The challenge here is you be real. You put into practice what you say you believe. You instill it in your children so that the world may know that God's way works. You may be here today, and I know this has been kind of a family message. And we hadn't talked a lot about salvation, but I can't close without challenging you this. You want to raise good kids, it starts with God. You want to raise good kids that have a relationship with God, it's all about what is your relationship with God. All right? You have to be the pattern. You have to be the example. Are you a child of God? If not, today is the day of salvation. You need to be saved today. All right? Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? Give your life to the Lord today. Jesus gave His life so you could have eternal life. Now today, you receive it. Maybe you're here today and you've kind of fell by the wayside. I just want to remind you, those little ones are watching you. Okay? Time to get back on track. Time to rededicate your life. Say, Lord, I can't do anything about yesterday, but I can sure change how I am from today, this point forward. Time to repent. Maybe you're hearing the Lord has another claim on your life. Whatever your spiritual need is, I just want to ask you to do this one thing for me, okay? Listen to Jesus and do what He tells you to do. As we have this verse of invitation, Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You that as parents, we don't have to guess and we don't have to wonder. And You told us, Lord, in Your Word, how to be parents. Lord, You know we're not perfect. We all, as parents, we mess up. We make mistakes. We make bad calls. And Lord, I just pray for Your forgiveness of when we do mess up. And Lord, I pray that You'll give us wisdom to raise up godly children for Your glory. And now this invitation, I pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name.
Y'all come on up, guys. If the families that have had children in the last couple of years were not recognized last year, y'all come on up. Let's just make a line up here. Let everybody see those babies. I know you don't want them looking at you, but let them see your babies. Y'all got some beautiful kids. Who was here last year for our baby dedication service? Raise your hand. Do y'all remember how long the line was? It started at that door and went all the way about out that one. Look at this line. I don't know what's going on here at Victory, but God's good. Amen?
Amen.
I think last year we had 22 babies that we dedicated. And this year I think I have 13 on my list, and I may have missed some. And I know there are not some of them that are not here. But what I want to do is I'd like to introduce... Well, I tell you what, I'm going to let y'all pass the mic and introduce your own children, and then I've got a gift for you. Because I'll make a mess out of it. So we'll start on this.
Okay, we are Peyton and Amanda Phelps, and this is Owen.
We're Madison and Charlie Buford, and this is Nora Faye Buford.
Amen. Matt and Christy Goodson, and this is Kent Manning.
I'm Bryce, this is my wife Danielle, and my son Josiah.
And Dustin Combs, and this is Cash.
Jason and Melissa Storm, this is Porter.
First time we've seen him.
Uh-huh. We're Jimmy and Misty Evans, and this is Alden.
This is Marcus and Taisha Jarrett, and this is Corbin.
Dustin and Natalie Hill and Caitlin.
We also have some others that were not here this morning. Gavin Daniels, Alaric Teach, Luke Glover, and Paisley Kist. Our other babies that are in our church. Let me go ahead and put a plug in before I address these families. My wife is a nursery director and she needs help. So if you're looking for a place to serve at Victory, we have two nurseries that have recently been moved to here. There's one in that room and there's one in that room right over there. So you can see my dear wife over there and she would love to sign you up to help care for some of these bundles of joy during our services. Parents, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for bringing your children to God's house. I have taught young couples and I've taught teenagers. I've taught children for years and years. And when you bring your children to the house of the Lord and you're consistent with it, at a very young age they come to know who God is and understand the love of Jesus and they'll trust Him. And there's nothing like seeing your child accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen, Rusty? Amen. It's good. It's good to know where your children are going when their life here ends. It's good to know that you're not in complete control, because there comes a day when they get as big as my oldest ones. And I don't know where they are, but I know their Father God loves them and He's in control. So I thank you, parents, for being here. Let's pray for these families. Y'all bow with me. Father God, we thank you so much for these families that are here standing in front of me, those that are visiting their families today. God, we thank you for them as well. We thank you for all the babies that you have brought into this church, and that the families that you've blessed with little ones, Father. We thank you that our church is a growing church and a healthy church, and we can see that on display here this morning. God, I thank you for every father and mother that's standing up here holding a child, and I pray for them. God, I pray for wisdom, that they would know how to raise these children. I pray for endurance. I pray for patience, for strength, Father. But mostly I pray that each of these children would grow up to understand that you love them, that you are their Father, and that you sent your Son Jesus to die for them, and that they would each come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ very soon. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace in our lives. Forgive us when we fail you. Help us all to be faithful parents. In Jesus' name, amen.